Jose, confirmants, thank you. Ladies, thank you. Choir, thank you. You've really enhanced our experience of worship this day. It is a glorious day, and we are grateful for all you've contributed. Puts a little pressure on the preacher, but it's not a competition, so it's wonderful to have an occasion like this. My Grandma Myers was a fiery character. She worked at Service Rubber in Rock Island, making, among other things, handmade rubber boots. In retirement, she hung chickens for Tyson and was the best chicken hanger they had, even though most of her colleagues were half her age. A tough old bird, she had a temper. More Chihuahua than pit bull, she never stopped. Her husband, Gordon, ran three Super-Par gas stations in the Quad Cities and slept in his Lazy Boy when he wasn't at the station. Her son, my father, worked on the Rock Island Lines, a mighty good road. And when he wasn't at the railroad or out playing cards in some honky-tonk, he was often napping on the couch. We all lived together for a time, so it's not surprising with all the napping and my grandmother's disposition, I grew up hearing more times than I can remember, "What he needs is a good kick in the britches." What is surprising is when I Googled the phrase, I couldn't find it. Here, I thought it would be pretty popular. We all need a good kick in the britches now and then, but apparently, Google has never heard the phrase. So in case you haven't heard it either, just think of a good kick in the britches as a particularly effective, old-school form of motivation. We have a lot happening this morning, so my sermon is about done. But I wanted to at least raise the question, might Pentecost provide us a good and much-needed kick in the britches? Now, don't push the analogy too far. When I wonder if we might need a good kick in the britches, I'm not suggesting our church is in any way, shape, or form like my family of origin. When you look at all we're doing, there's not much time for napping. Nobody's languishing in their Lazy Boy or lying on the couch. We have the Protestant work ethic down pat. But like most Presbyterian churches, we're pretty comfortable, maybe a little complacent with the way things are. We talk about God, at least in the abstract. Most of us are okay with Jesus, as long as we don't push too hard on the miracles, his virgin birth, or a personal relationship with him. But the Holy Spirit, we really don't know what to do with her. Will Willimon suggests this just might be one of the problems with mainline Christianity. The absence of a robust pneumatology, he writes, the absence of a robust doctrine of the Holy Spirit usually indicates a church that is too sedate, too settled into present arrangements, and too accommodated to the way things are, rather than a church that's being pushed towards God's new heaven and new earth. Friends, what might it mean for us in our lives and our life together to be pushed, even driven, toward God's new heaven and earth by God's Holy Spirit? What might it mean for the Holy Spirit to give us a good kick in the britches? Pentecost is one of the grand moments in salvation history. Christ was dead. Now, 50 days after Easter, he is alive. The power of Pentecost transforms the disciples. Fear and grief and confusion and disarray become joy and hope, meaning and purpose. Portrayed as the rush of a mighty, even violent wind and tongues of fire, the power of the Holy Spirit gathers the church from every nation under heaven and drives it out to the ends of the earth with a prophetic word. And that word is this, that raising Jesus Christ from the dead, God has revealed the ways of life. Now is the time for young men to see visions and old men to dream dreams. Now is the time for the oppressed women and men to prophesy. All creation shall be transformed. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boundaries were shattered on Pentecost. National borders and ethnic divisions were overcome. Racial separation and gender barriers were shattered. Age was not an issue. Israel was no longer a particular people in a particular place called to serve a particular God separate from everyone else. God now claimed the world. Jews and Gentiles, women and men, young and old, wonders and signs were all around of the new heaven and earth God is creating by the power of the Holy Spirit. A world where there is no longer mourning, nor crying, nor pain, nor violence, nor injustice. One of the most powerful and often overlooked moments of Pentecost, greater than all the pyrotechnics of earth, wind, and fire, was Peter. The prophetic voice which arose and drove the disciples towards God's new heaven and earth was the voice of one who weeks before cowered in the presence of a serving girl and could not find one faithful thing to say about Jesus. Peter gave a voice to God's Holy Spirit on Pentecost. My friends, we have that privilege too. When we call our children to a more excellent way with the example of our faith. When we hold fast to the promises we make upon our baptism, in our marriage, to our co-workers or friends. When we say no to partisan vitriol for the sake of the common good. When we care more for the creation we have been given than the profit we can make. When we stand with the vulnerable and silence the bully. When we look beyond gender, race, age, ethnicity, or religion and see the human heart. When we offer a word of hope to those who are suffering, grieving, or oppressed. Hope for a world where suffering, crying, and pain are no more. When we show people with our lives the love of God in Jesus Christ, then like Peter, we too give voice to the power of God's Holy Spirit. Beloved, what might it mean for us? What might it mean for our children? For our church, for our community, to live in the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day. Let's not wait for a good kick in the britches to find out. On this glorious day of Pentecost, let us simply open our hearts and minds to the power of God's Holy Spirit on display all around us each and every day. Thanks be to God.